So we've got two planning statements left, so just to explain that, so Mr. Willis is focused on the on-farm material.
Yep.
Essentially on the manufacturing. So given that Mr. Willis has dealt with most of the broad policies, we'll get him to go first.
Yep.
So over to you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Willis. Thanks for your evidence, which we found very helpful and very clear, and also your two versions of the fact changes, and we are familiar with that, and we're now referring to the latest version, so thank you for that. Any key points you'd like to highlight for us? I guess that's difficult given the breadth of your evidence.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it is difficult. In my executive summary, I sort of try and say that there's two parts of the evidence in a way. There's the policy issues, and Mr. Matheson's really traversed most of the key points from that section, and then there's the more technical rule-based issues which Mr. Duncan sort of traversed, so I sort of would be covering old ground, I think, going over it again. I would just like to make a correction or two, if I may.
Yeah.
Although, given your last comments, your earlier comments about to Mr. Duncan about coming back on Section 35, they may be redundant, but I just wanted to draw your attention to the fact that, on reflection and having looked at this, we realise that the sort of moving feast of changes in wording around Rule 35 has it led us to make a couple of errors, if you like, or at least not being as clear as you should have. So I could explain those to you, but if we're going to come back with a new set of wording around Rule 35, it might be best to avoid further confusion and just do that simply.
Yeah, I think that would be preferable, and then you can the two of you can consider it with more time at your hands, and then come back to us with a suggested reword that addresses both the points you were going to raise with us and then the question that I've put to Mr. Duncan. That would be helpful. And any kind of explanatory text that you feel is appropriate so that we understand what you're recommending would be fine as well.
Yep.
And are you able to do that by Friday week?
Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you. So now shall we go to questions? Or do you
questions.
Want
to... I have a question, sorry.
Okay, Morris, it's about green.
Well, I did have one, but it's already been answered, so I don't have any more.
Okay. Edward, you
A few notes, but no questions. Thank you.
I'm good. Just one. I picked it up in the summary. It's your 4.8. It's Rule 23. Winter grazing goes across to 0.6. It's overland flow of runoff water. Should the of actually be from?
Sorry,
it's this one here.
So it's supplementary, is it? Sorry.
It's the statement of supplementary.
Yeah,
supplementary.
Yeah.
Sorry, what paragraph is it?
It's 23B6. It starts off overland flow of runoff. It's on the top of page 8.
Overland flow of runoff water does not cause conspicuous disturbance.
Yes, when I read that, would overland flow from runoff water, would that be more correct or make more sense, or am I... I took the view that overland flow from runoff water, and then you deal with the issue.
I'm just trying to think of where the genesis for those words might have come from.
I'm happy for you to come back with the other information, and if it is correct as it is, that's fine. If it needs to be changed, then you could recommend a change.
Well, maybe we don't need the words of runoff.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Overland flow doesn't look cool.
Yeah, that's right. I'm happy to come back in terms of the earlier note, but my initial reaction is the same as the Chair's, that perhaps those words are redundant.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. No questions, Mr. Chair. So I do have one, Mr. Chairman, for me. Over in the same document, over in Rule 70, which the Chairman will clearly explain probably later, where we sit on that, you've got a comment in the table there, which is actually the definition of a stream as far as Bonterra is concerned, but that's Bonterra's description, 1 metre wide and et cetera, et cetera. Is there a common standard interpretation of that that can be used across all sectors?
Now, I think that the note really was trying to refer to the use of that particular metric in the table, earlier in the table, which comes, of course, from the draft regulation. So if you go to the top right-hand cell under the headings, it talks about excluded water bodies that are over 1 metre. And I was, so my point was, well, how is it measured from? You know, what point in the, is at any point in the river, is any time of the year, is it from bank to bank, is it from wetted edge to wet edge? And I was simply trying to say that that's kind of quite important. So the regulation, the draft regulation that this is based on was pretty imprecise, although I think it did actually have some explanations somewhere that hasn't been transferred into here.
Yeah.
And so I was simply making the point that if we're going to use it, we need to use the appropriate definition as well. And I don't think there is anything standard, although I think most plans talk about the width as being at any point on a property, so just because it might be narrow at one point doesn't apply. So, and it's usually, although I wouldn't say I've done an analysis of it, I would suggest to you it's probably something that, you know, wetted edge to wetted edge, you know, at mean annual flow, there would be kind of a common approach at any point in the over a property length.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Commissioner McCallum's just referred to the spiel. I usually get a delay submit is about the stock access national regulations. I haven't given that to you because I assume you're aware of those and their implications. And just for the other people in the room, basically once the final national stock regulations are promulgated, this plan can't do anything more lenient than whatever central government comes out with. So our hands are a little bit tied, or more than a little bit, they are significantly tied in terms of stock access rules. When Mr. Matheson was presenting his legal submissions, I asked whether it would be appropriate in your view to have a note under the heading for the region-wide objectives section of the plan, just stating that objectives 1 to 18 are not freshwater objectives in 10 to NPS. Do you think that would be helpful?
I do, yeah.
Is there anything in your Appendix 2, so your track changes recommendations to us, that's not discussed in your evidence in chief or your rebuttal evidence?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Just wanted to check. And you're welcome to just have a check of that, because you're going to come back to us anyway in 35 and just confirm that's the case.
I certainly hope not. Put it that way.
Yeah. In terms of your rebuttal evidence, I didn't have any questions, but I understand the points being made, so thank you for that. I do have one question sort of I'd like you to give some thought to and come back to us as well. There's been a number of submissions have asked us to differentiate between permanently flowing rivers, intermittent rivers, and ephemeral rivers. As submitters have outlined to us, they think that some rules should apply to permanent and intermittently flowing rivers, but not ephemeral rivers, for obvious logical reasons. The question I've put to the officers is whether there's any definitions in the NES plantation forestry that could assist in that regard. That NES defines perennial river. And so my question to you, and I'd like you to go and think about it, is if we were to use the term perennial river in this plan, as it's defined in the NES, will that assist in resolving that issue of differentiating between those three classes of rivers? So you could have to think about that and come back to us, that'd be helpful.
Sure.
And you're welcome to discuss this with the officers if you like, or if they'd like to talk to you about it, because I've asked them a similar kind of question.
Okay.
That was all, Mr. Willis, but thanks very much for your evidence. As usual, it's very helpful.
Thank you.